There we go.
All right. So I suppose I'm supposed to be the moderator.
Yeah, I think that's how
it's set. So, you guys want to start? I'm most concerned just about the slides, obviously, since I'm the panicky presenter.
Right.
Although Jackie did, like, a fabulous job. I, like, logged on last night thinking I had a bunch of stuff to do, and I logged on, and I was like, oh, hey, she, like, did most of it. Or, I don't know, Tara, did you put this together? Or who put all this together?
I did the literature review.
Yeah, this looks awesome.
And I consolidated the research goals and questions down to a single slide because I was concerned because we were getting a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe we just go through this, like, we look at the notes from, that was going to be my plan, just kind of go through the notes from last time of what each part, just make sure we're all on the same page as to how the presentation should more or less go, and if anybody has any suggestions or... my one question, I mean, because we had said something about an overview slide. Do we think we need that? Because we kind of go from the title slide to review of literature. So does anybody think we need, like, a, or do you want me to just pontificate, basically?
Well, the original order of the slides, we had research goals and questions first. When I finished doing a literature review yesterday, my last literature review slide seemed to lead naturally into our research goals and questions, so I changed the order. Maybe we want to change it back to the way it was before, though.
Yeah, that was my... I don't know. I don't know which flows better. And I'm willing to do either. I think either works.
One thing we could do is you could, on the title slide, you could spend a minute pontificating about kind of our initial motivation. You know, initially we were thinking about, we were discussing the things that we were really interested in, and we were thinking about sampling methods, and so we reviewed the literature, and you could go into that, or we could put a single kind of motivation slide on there that just, you know, briefly says this is where we started, and then this is the literature review, or the literature that we reviewed, and then I do kind of agree, looking at Tara's last slide, that her last slide does lead naturally into, okay, then these, once we reviewed this literature, these are the research questions we formed.
I should mention, I threw a research question slide in there before I realized that basically somebody had already done it for me. So that second research question slide is me. So we can get that out of there, because I think basically I said the same thing. And I think basically you guys said it better than I did. So.
Well, I think you had done...
There were
these
three.
Slides a long time ago, and then we had just, like, the research ones, and then...
Yeah, what I
that.
Before I realized that basically everything was already in here last night, I started to throw in the presentation that I'd sent Bob. I started to, like, throw in pieces of slides into what this was, and then realized that basically it was already mostly in here. So that's why that was in there. So, you know, if we look at – okay, so we're sort of going all over the place here. So we got a motivation slide. So I'll talk a little bit about motivations. We'll come back to the review of the literature here in a minute. Maybe skip over to the research goals. Just look at this real quick. So we've got one slide. We've got research goals, and then we got sort of two bullet points, how do students' personal experiences leave. Okay. Are we happy with, if we look at number six is what I'm looking at, are we good with the research goals and questions? Because I know we spent some time talking about it, but did we ever really kind of come to a consensus on those?
Those are the ones that we have in our abstract.
Okay, so we are good on those. Because I seem to remember talking about them, and then we sort of got distracted. I didn't know if we ever came back, and we're happy with those. How good, bad a sample is. Do we like that language, how good, bad a sample is? Because I was looking at that last night. That was my only question.
We've also used appropriateness.
Yeah, that was that just because it just doesn't sound as
scientific.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a wording thing. It just doesn't sound very academic.
I think if you could just say assess the quality of sampling methods or the quality of the sample, that type of thing. That's kind of how.
And then we wouldn't be ending with is. That's good.
Yeah. So let's just say assess the quality of the sampling methods. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
This in?
Yeah.
Sarah, are you making those changes or do you want me to?
I can do it.
Okay. I just noticed like it's telling me that you are in the frame already.
It is? It's
yeah,
telling
my
me you're
frame
in the frame, so that's funny.
I'm getting, like, I just clicked
out of it, yeah. But it was highlighted and it had your name in a little tag.
Yeah, that's what it did for me with you.
Yeah, I just that's clicked funny. Out of it, so. All right, I see some of the changes now. There we go.
We may have to dump this into PowerPoint at the end just for formatting, because the formatting here yesterday I found was just awful.
Yeah.
It took me forever to get formatting stuff done.
Well, I want to pretty it up anyway, you know, put a background or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we want quality sample or sampling methods? Do we care?
I might say sampling methods, because that's really what they're assessing, whereas the sample is more like the people, right?
I have one. Can you guys see it? I changed the top one to sampling method, the bottom one to sample.
Ah, it just came through. Maybe there's just
yeah.
a delay.
So which way do you guys like?
I think we're doing more of the sampling method, so I like that a little bit better.
Yeah, I think so, too. So this is sampling method. Awesome. That's kind of cool. It just all of a sudden changes.
Okay, so I think we can get rid of slide 7, which is my slide. We can just delete that out of there. A repeat. Somebody else want to do that, or do you want me to do it?
I can do it quick.
All right,
done.
All right.
So proposed methodology, then. We have 2 slides on this.
Yeah, actually, there was one. And then I added one this morning just because the basically what was in here before was talking about the opinion survey, and this is up to you guys. I thought we should put all of the methodology here and then talk about the opinion survey that we did do. I think either Jackie or Tara, whoever put this in, was thinking we talk just about the methodology with the opinion survey, talk about the opinion survey, and then put the rest of the methodology in the next steps part.
Yeah, I don't think any work was done on those two. I think those were just from the original, whatever we had sent initially. I know I didn't do anything on them, and I don't think Jackie did. So.
Okay. There was a little bit that was already here. The rest of it is actually me that I put in this morning trying to explain. I just thought it made more sense to give an outline of the whole thing of what we're going to do, but, what happened there? Things are getting small.
Sorry, I was trying to put a space between them. That's what I was saying with formatting. As soon as you, like, put a space, it does all kinds of wacky stuff. And
yeah. So this was the slide that was already there, and then I think I just added the next slide. Talking
which
about
one? 7 or 8 was already there.
7 was already there. So this is just kind of, I think, the general idea. actually, now that I'm looking at it, they didn't really explain what the opinions are. Now, okay, so actually we need to fix this a little bit. And then eight.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we could maybe weave the two of these together.
Okay. Yeah, eight, I was trying to talk about the second, what comes after our opinion survey, you know, what we're going to do with it later on. But that could be part of the next steps. Sorry, I'm going to shut up now.
I would say for the proposed methodology, we maybe want to say, start by saying we're going to assess students' opinions on particular topics. Then we'll present the same statistical issue in several contexts. And see, so here, I'm going to type in some changes to slide.
I was typing while you were talking. Go ahead.
That's why. It just told me my edits could not be applied because someone else just edited the object.
Stop typing.
Oh, sorry. This is a problem with the simultaneous editing. All right, so what was I even just starting to say there? So
Assess. Opinion on a particular topic. And then you said something about present the same statistical issue in several contexts.
We should probably be pretty specific, right? Should we say assess introductory statistics students' opinions?
We could, although the whole thing is kind of within the context of introductory statistics, I think. Like, I think we should make that clear in the beginning that that's our population.
Okay.
Just to keep the later slides a little cleaner, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I'll put that more in the overview, motivation, introductory. Assess students, things on a very time.
This is where I can't get rid of that bullet now. Okay. So the first step is to assess their opinion. Then we're going to present them with a statistical issue. Then we're going to see if their ability to evaluate the sampling methods are consistent across the context. Is there anything else from slide 8 that we should pull out and add to 7?
That's kind of the general idea of the whole project, right? Not just the first opinion.
Right. Yeah, the first opinion survey. So on slide 7, the first opinion survey is the first bullet. The research instrument, what I'm calling the research instrument, is the second bullet. That's, you know, everything we talked about in our last two calls, those questions. And then the third thing is the data analysis, and that could include interviews and things.
I think I kind of like Lee's first bullet on slide 8 as opposed to our second bullet on slide 7.
Okay.
It's a little more detailed.
All right. I'm copying and pasting that, and we'll make the swap. It says, I'm going to delete the part about administer to all students because it says write and administer, and so I think it's clear that it's to all students. And those are the types of things, like I do believe in trying to keep PowerPoint slides a little bit uncluttered. Like I don't want everything we're going to say to be written out on the slide. You know, so those are some of the things we can kind of talk about as we're going through about the opinion survey is going to be, the opinion survey and the context survey, we need to come up with a name for that, are going to be administered to all students, and then we may pull some individual students in for interviews if we want to learn more about their answers, you know, if we want to hear them explain their answers more. Are you comfortable with that, Leah, since you're the one who's actually presenting?
I was going to say, as long as you're there to, you know, remind me of the, you know, stuff I'm going to forget, I'm going to forget a whole bunch of stuff. So.
Well, those are the types of things, like, we can put them in the notes in the PowerPoints, and I would be happy to get together with you the night before, and we can chat over those things, but...
No, I'm with you, actually. I don't, because then I just end up reading the slide, and then I'm, you know, an even worse presenter than, you know.
Yeah, I just feel like when you can ad-lib simple stuff like that in, I feel like it just makes you seem that you have a better handle on what's actually going on. It just makes you seem like you're more...
I've got it together.
Yes, yes. So I think now with the way 7 has been tweaked, we could probably delete 8.
Okay.
Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I'll delete. And so now the new slide 8 should be the opinion survey, the first step.
Wait, the last bullet on 7?
Yes.
There's a plural students and a singular ability. Should that be see if students' abilities? There's something wrong. I don't know what, though.
Yeah, I think abilities, because we have, in the first one, we have plural students, plural opinions. So we'll do plural students, plural abilities. Did that update show up?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so next we move on to the opinion survey.
I'm going to try to put a space again, so something funky is going to happen to it, just to warn you ahead of time.
Okay.
Spring of 2010, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's spring 2010.
Are you changing it, Harla?
Yeah,
your name
I'll do that right now.
So. Yeah.
I will change that.
Wing edit.
I'm going to try and shorten the bullet, make it more choppy. Goal, ascertain what topics college students are more likely to have a strong opinion about versus not.
I don't think we need the last line there, right? That's kind of what you were talking about, stuff that can get added in during the talk.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see
that. So, did those changes come through now?
Yeah. I think we need something on the end, though. I don't think we can end a sentence with that.
Well, I think I was just saying on a PowerPoint slide, I don't think it's a big a deal if you have prepositions ending a sentence.
Okay. I don't necessarily think PowerPoints have to be grammatically correct.
Yeah.
Although it kind of is written like a sentence, so. But, all right. Is there an easy way we can fix it? Ascertain which topics college students were more likely...
Or not to have a strong opinion. No, it's really about...
How about we just say ascertain the strengths of college students' opinions about various topics?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I just... Maybe I just don't pay attention to the grammatical.
Excuse me. Please.
Are you laughing?
I think it depends. If you have full sentences, those should probably be grammatically correct. If you have fragments, then I don't think those need to be.
Yeah.
college student's opinion about a variety of topics.
And if we put variety of topics down there, we probably don't need on a variety of issues in the first bullet.
Right. Good point. We'll just end it at 7-point Likert scale. Okay. Are you guys okay with slide 8 now?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, slide 9.
Did somebody else join us? I thought I heard somebody else talking before.
I don't.
Maybe it was the kids outside that were laughing or something. No. I swear I heard somebody else talking. Okay.
So then we just talk about, then we just have the list of the questions on there.
I was going to say we could, and I mean, this is up to you. I could actually take like little screenshots of the actual, like a blank survey. I don't know. Or we can just leave it this way.
We could do that. You want to. So are you saying
you could do that? We could leave this slide in as a talking point slide, just don't include it, you know, like exit out as part of the presentation so that we have the information and know what one to be included, but then just talk through this while you're showing actual screenshots.
Yeah, it'll depend on how well it translates, because sometimes when you do that, it won't show up really well in the presentation. Sometimes it'll be fuzzy. Sometimes you won't be able to read it. So
are you using Snagit?
I just have on a Mac. You can just take screenshots of anything.
Okay.
So
because Snagit always says really nice. I've never had any problem with it being fuzzy.
Well, I don't have
a computer anymore though.
Big, you know, from SurveyMonkey. I just don't know how big and how cluttered it would be to try and then show that, you know, to a room full of, you know, 100 people or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe I'm being optimistic as to how many people are going to be in the room. But, you know, so it just, you know, I mean, it basically it would give the same information and, I don't know, would be prettier. So yeah, we can just leave this in. But if you guys are okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with you trying that, if you would like. Mm-hmm.
What?
So we'll leave this one as it is for now, and it can at least serve as a placeholder so you know where you want to put the screenshots in later if you decide to change that.
That's on the recording, too.
Yeah. I have a problem with stuttering sometime and not enunciating well enough. Yeah, screenshot. All right, moving on. Question or slide 10.
I think that looks good.
Yeah. And one thing I might do as a presentation, I don't know how these are organized now, but I would group them into the way we talked about them, which was strong, neutral, and either or both.
Sure.
And I don't know if they're necessarily organized that way right now, but I would just put, didn't we have two of each? So I'd put the two strongs together and say those two students didn't have very strong opinions about, these two students tended to be more neutral on, and these students, or these two topic students were really just kind of split almost equally between those with strong opinions and those who rated the topic as neutral.
Yeah,
like why we chose these and.
Yeah, and I don't think they are organized that way right now, because I think if we look down, because the next, like, 10 slides or whatever, all the percentages, and I'm pretty sure Mac and PC. Sarah, go ahead.
I think we just need to switch texting while driving and Mac versus PC, and we'll be fine. Because texting and tuition calls were both strongly in gray. MAC and legalizing were the ones that were split, and the last two are the neutral ones.
Okay, so like that.
Yeah.
I still got. Okay,
wait, where'd it go? There it is.
Why is it not telling me that driving is spelled incorrectly? It's fine to me.
Is doing spell check for you?
Yeah.
Oh, is that spell check? I'm
doing it in Firefox, so Firefox automatically underlines stuff. And for some reason, it's not giving me any suggestions, but it's telling me it doesn't like driving.
Maybe it's picking up the grammar because we're ending. In this case, it doesn't matter, but maybe that's what it's picking up.
Yeah. Okay. Then we will need to probably rearrange the following slides. And do you think we need to show, I'm a little concerned about length, as long as we can go through slides 11 to 16 quickly. I mean, they're, thus far, they are the only, like, results we have, so I don't necessarily want to take them out completely.
I'm wondering,
but
if we
don't want to spend too much time either.
Yeah, well, by now, I mean, I like the fact they're actually at the end just because we could quickly go through them and say, you know, if I'm running out of time, I can kind of skim through them very quickly. We could, since they are grouped two at a time, I think if we take this out of Google Docs and put it in a PowerPoint with a little formatting, we probably could get two to a slide. And that might speed it up a little bit. You know, with a little formatting.
Two strong ones together and that.
Yeah, a little font adjustment. We might be able to get two to a slide. And then I don't have to spend very much time, you know, just kind of flash them up there, point very quickly to, you know, these are the percentages that we got, and this is why we put them in the strong category versus the neutral category versus the bimodal category. And then I can, you know, quickly go to the last part, which is the next steps part.
Okay. I am trying to rearrange those slides in the same order that they're put in the bulleted list.
Okay. Well, that'll help.
All right, there we
go. Because of the formatting issues in Google Docs, I don't think we can. I can work on that once I put this together into, you know,
yeah,
presentation.
I definitely want to attempt it, given my experiences yesterday.
Yeah, working in regular PowerPoint is bad enough. I can imagine working in an application like this could make it worse. All right, so then we'll leave those slides as are for now, and that might I like that idea. If we could put, you know, the strong ones together, then people can kind of see. So yeah, I want to show some real data.
Yeah.
And we'll see. So that kind of brings us up to the next step slide. And along those lines, do you guys think that we will be able to pilot the research instrument, the one where we're actually collecting their statements about the sampling methods or about the studies? Do you think we will have time to pilot that before JSM? I think so. North Carolina, I have to look at their academic calendar. They have, let's see if I even wrote the dates down. I did not write the dates down. They have two summer terms, the first of which just ended. And then I don't know when the second one starts, so I'm trying to look that up right now. Do you guys have any students at the moment?
I do not.
I am not teaching this summer. Our second summer session starts next week. And I don't think that they're going to get far enough. They don't because of the way that the textbook, the person I know is teaching it, the way the textbook is set up, we use the Aliaga and Gunderson one.
Yeah, so you guys actually start with, yeah, you don't get into data collection until the second chapter, right?
Yes, the second chapter is all the sampling, and she usually spends during a regular semester about 3 weeks on the first chapter. So she won't be getting to the sampling stuff for, I don't think she'll get there in time.
All right, so my, the second summer term for North Carolina starts today, actually. I don't know in terms, we do start with sampling, so if I could get my act together and if we feel like the instrument is ready to go, we might be able to pilot this. I will have to talk to our course coordinator, so we might be able to pilot this. The other thing we could do is we could include a slide or two with the questions, have a slide that says something like, the sampling survey step two, or the second step, to kind of mirror what we had about opinion survey. Include an example question or two, and then say our next steps are to pilot this.
Yeah, that was just going to be my suggestion, is that, you know, we just show what we've put together and what we plan to do.
And I don't think we need to show the whole thing, but if we could show, like, maybe one or two example questions. Or what I would do is I would pick, we had one question, I think, that had like four possible outcomes. It was, you know, there was like the good, the bad.
The luggage question. The
ugly, all of that. Yeah. So we could maybe show how we could have four versions of this question to see how people would be able to respond. And,
you got to remember, at this point, I mean, it's going to, we only have 15 minutes. It's really just going to be a flash of, you know, this is what we're going to do. So I'm barely going to have time to show maybe one question and explain briefly what we plan to do with it and then take time for questions. So I think just like one example of where we plan to go with it, I think would be more than enough. I don't think we need to try and push it to have, you know, if we're really not ready.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, honestly, we're not ready.
Yeah.
I think we've got quite a bit done, actually. Maybe we can figure out which question that we're very happy with that we would be comfortable sharing. I mean, if you like the luggage question, that's fine.
Should we pull up the... Was that in a doc or was that in
a... doc. I was looking at them yesterday.
I've lost track of what's our docs and what's our groups. And
research instrument questions, there it is.
Love that.
Yeah, we've got the food irradiation. We have, let's see, texting while driving. Yes, I'm talking to myself. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
The first two are examples of ones that, and we might want to mention that we're not going to use the four combinations for all of them, because some of them, if we use the four combinations, we'll be giving misinformation to the students.
Yeah, I definitely think that's something to talk through.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think we should bring that up, because I think we all agree we don't want to give them a study that says that texting while driving is not dangerous at all. I think that would be unfair to them.
We have the
completely irresponsible.
Tuition and the luggage, those are the two that we have the four for.
Looking for, can't find this document. What's that document called?
It's research instrument questions.
There we go. I got it now. I have so many documents for some reason right now that I've lost track of what they all are. Okay. So the food iridation has a...
That's when we only have two because we weren't going to give misinformation.
Right.
The texting is the same.
Yeah. So they both have a good and a bad, but the results are the same. The luggage one, we could change the results. The tuition one. Sorry.
That one's the one that has the p-values in it, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, they kind of like the texting while driving as well. We could put two examples up there, and then we'll just see what we have time for. I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, I can skip things if we just run out of time.
Yeah. We...
I don't know how you guys feel about that, but...
That would be fine. What we could do is we could do one example where there's only the two cases, and then we could say, and then do one example where we could change the results.
Yeah.
We changed the results for the luggage one and the tuition one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't change results for the food iridation and the texting. So should we do texting and tuition?
Yeah, those are probably the more interesting ones.
Well, I think it would be obvious, you know, texting one's an obvious one, why we can't.
Right.
Which said, you know, why we can't change the results, because it's just,
it wouldn't
make any sense, and students are going to know that we're making it up.
Yeah. The thing is, these are incredibly text heavy. Like, I don't think we can just include the full question in there, honestly. Like, I think we might just have to...
Yeah, you do have a point there. This is going to be a lot to read in a few minutes.
Yeah. So we'll have to figure that. I know that was actually supposed to be my part, and I did not get to it before this meeting today. I'm sorry about that.
Damn it, Herla. No.
I know. I thought I would get to it, like, yesterday or this morning before our call, and that just didn't happen. So one thing I could do is I could work on it this afternoon, and then when those slides are done, I can email you guys and say, take a look at them and, you know, send me comments or edit as you want.
Yeah, that's fine. Please, we still got a month, so.
Yeah. But I think that seems reasonable. I'm still a tiny bit concerned about time. I think we should be closer to 15 slides than to 20, although I know some of them we could flip through maybe a little bit faster, and some of them we may condense.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the review of literature stuff. And we kind of skipped over that part.
Right.
And I read through it. It looks good. It's just how much...
Yeah, because there's four slides on that.
I did four.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lee.
I was just going to ask, what were your main themes there?
Well, I thought we should include, originally I only had the last three. I had the stuff from the Nickerson article on confirmation bias, and I just picked out a few points we could probably I included what I thought would be talking points, kind of.
Okay.
Then I went from there. A specific kind of example of confirmation bias was the Kaplan article. So I included Herla's summary kind of for that. And then I included the beliefs, the last slide was Herla's money quote. And then leading into the research questions. The first slide I went back and added at the end because we had spent all that time reading those other articles and I didn't feel like they were really represented at all. So I just went back and kind of pulled some of those initial articles that got us thinking and that started bringing the thread that we ended up pursuing. And so I went back and added stuff from those. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that might be a way, you know, I could kind of use that to bring in sort of an introduction of how we arrived at this.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you can finish your thought.
I really wanted to at least bring up, because this is the one I always go back to, the Watson example with the cars.
Mm-hmm.
As kind of a really short, simple example of what we were thinking about that kind of got us along this path of why we started thinking about the context and why that might distract students from thinking about the statistical issues. And I just like that Watson example because I think that's a really short, understandable example of why students might be distracted from the statistical issues. And so that's a really short, easy way for people to understand, you know, how we ended up on this path. I just don't like to bring that one up.
The Schwartz one, when I went back and looked over the notes from our conference calls, the Schwartz one, the third bullet on that slide, was the one where we spent a lot of time talking about it. We had a lot in the notes about the contextual piece and how it seemed to be distracting the students and stuff. That's why I went and included that one.
Okay.
The first one came from the article that Jackie reread for the conference call. And then I went out and found the original reference and just included the quote from the original reference.
Okay, so found that children's evaluations of sampling methods were influenced by the decisiveness of the results and the punishment of the results.
The one thing I didn't include was on the confirmation bias one, there was some information in there that seemed to indicate that even when they didn't have strong beliefs, that they were looking for support of the hypothesis. That I did not include. Because that wasn't really anything that we talked about, but it might be something for us to keep in mind when we're looking at our own results. And I really need to go back. That article is so dense. There's so much in there.
The Nickerson article?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually tried to read the whole thing because I had seen that, and I was like, I think that's a really good one. And then I realized how long it was, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and on our little page, we were supposed to slap up notes and stuff, and I saw a bunch of people did that. I was just trying to, like, pull out. There were some great quotes in it that kind of tie into what we're talking about. So I think you've got some of them up here.
Yeah, I didn't add anything to the page because I was working on this yesterday, but I figured, I mean, the stuff that I would have put, and then when I looked over the page at the end to see if there was anything else I wanted to add, I think I had pulled out a lot of the same stuff that you did, but I didn't read the whole article. I kind of skimmed through parts of it, and I read in detail some other parts. But.
Well, toward the end, I think it starts to get away from some of the things that we were, it goes off on a different path.
Right.
Than what we're looking at. But, yeah, like the first half of it is actually really relevant to what we're doing.
I thought that article led nicely into the Kaplan article because the Kaplan article was kind of a specific example of this.
While you guys, I'm sorry, while you guys were chatting, I took slide 2 and copied it and basically rearranged it to make it a motivation slide. So that's the new slide 3.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
That way we still have the slide. I didn't completely overwrite that. But my thought was, I think we're going to run into issues with time. 15 minutes is going to go by so much faster than we realized. So I think what we can do here is we can kind of, my thought was we can say we started reviewing articles on sampling, which was a topic that interested us, and we found several articles pointed to this idea that there's this unintended consequence of using contextual situations that might distract the students. And we can say, this was evidence in these 3 references, and then you could maybe pick out the Watson one and give a specific example or something like that. And then move on to, this got us looking into the phenomenon of, once we started to become aware of this, we looked further into the phenomenon of confirmation bias, which is selective interpretation of evidence, and then go into confirmation bias and Mully's bias from there. Because I think we really need to trim this information a little bit. Like, it's really good information, and it's all going to be important. I think when we go to put together a paper or when we go to put together our concept map, but I think it's just too much for a 15-minute presentation.
Yeah, I know, and I tend to... We're going to have to keep me moving. Have to, buzz me or something to make sure I keep moving from slide to slide. So.
Tara, do you have hard copy, or not necessarily hard copy, but do you have another version of the slides you created here, or is it all within Google?
I dumped it to my hard drive as a PowerPoint yesterday.
Okay, so you do. So, if I were to delete slide 2, you still have a copy of that we can hold
on
to.
But I think so.
Because otherwise what I might do is just move it to the end of the presentation, because I don't want to lose that information. I just think it's too much for a 15-minute presentation.
I'm just double-checking to make sure it came through okay, because I didn't check it once I saved it. Yeah, I have slide 2.
Are you guys okay with the new version of that, the shortened version of that then?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
Okay. And I think we might want to shorten up the slides even on confirmation bias and belief bias. Just highlight 2-3 points at the max.
So combine slides 3 and 4?
Not necessarily combine slides 3 and 4. I'd rather have more slides with less on them, but just shorten 3 and 4 individually. So if you count bullets and sub-bullets, we have 5 points for confirmation bias. I say we get rid of the top, or I say we keep the top, 2 or 3 that are most relevant for this particular presentation.
Get rid of the first 2 then. On confirmation bias, I think the 3rd bullet's probably the most important. Lee, you read the article. What do you think?
I think bullet 1...
That was just what it is. That was a definition for people who didn't
three.
Know.
Yeah. I think bullet 1 and bullet 3 are more or less... I mean, they kind of get different angles of it, but it's more or less the same thing. Selective interpretation of evidence that pertains to belief, and then if someone has a strong belief about something, that person will weigh evidence. That's more or less saying the same thing. It's just one's a little more detailed than the other. At least that's the way I'm reading.
We'll get rid of the first 2 and just keep the 3rd one.
Yeah. And maybe you could get the whole idea that the person's unaware of the selectivity. You could put an adjective in that point, and the individual will weigh evidence somehow, say something about unconsciously.
I had that originally. And I was reading it, and I'm like, unconsciously, that sounds weird. definitely unconscious.
Yeah, they're you know.
Unconscious,
right? Exact word originally. Like, unconscious. The picture I was getting when I read it was kind of subconsciously.
Subconsciously.
Yeah. I don't know how to spell consciously. It definitely flagged it, though. Okay. And I put it in parentheses to say, you know, to indicate that this, you know, the person may not even be aware of it. So, I don't know if we really need it in parentheses or not.
Well, I mean, I think it's important because some of the times they may be aware of it, but there may be other people who don't. I mean, certainly there are people who will consciously look for evidence to support their own beliefs.
Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of the idea I was getting at, but for some reason I could not articulate that. But, yeah, that's the idea I had.
Okay, everybody, the evidence is against it. Look to discount or find an explanation for evidence against. Okay.
I wonder if I can simplify that even more. Individuals will subconsciously weigh evidence that supports their beliefs more favorably than evidence that is against their beliefs. Like, just get rid of if one has a strong belief about something?
Yeah, I think that could work. So you're saying start with the word individuals and change it to their beliefs instead of that belief.
Yeah, individuals will subconsciously weigh evidence that supports their beliefs or beliefs more favorably than evidence that is against their belief.
Yeah, I think that communicates the same idea.
And then I picked, there are other examples of confirmation bias in Nickerson. I thought the two bullets under that were the two that most directly applied to what we were looking at.
I was going to say maybe just find another explanation.
I was thinking explain away, too.
Okay, because for some reason that sentence the first time I read it, it didn't quite make sense to me.
Which one?
The first bullet point underneath, it took me a minute to process it, so I just didn't know if we could make the idea that they're trying to find some other explanation. They will look to discount or find an explanation for evidence. So basically, if they get some evidence that goes against what they believe, they will find some other way to explain it other than what's in front of them, is what that's trying to say. So, I think just
for
some
sake
other...
Just say discount? Because isn't that kind of encompassed in the idea of discounting the evidence? Is they're trying to find some other explanation? Like, it's not, you know...
Well, I guess I look at them as two different things. If they're discounting it, they're not looking for any other explanation. They're just saying, I don't believe it because it disagrees. But an alternative to that would be looking for ways to explain away the discrepancy between what they believe and what they're reading. I think they're two different reactions.
Then do we want to say explain away, which might be the shorter way to communicate that idea?
Yeah, either explain away or find some other explanation. Just there needs to be just something else. I don't know why. For just when I read it, it may just be my brain is not firing as well as it could, but that didn't quite read as clearly to me as it could have.
No, I actually agree with you on that, although my brain may not be firing either. The same evidence may be interpreted in two different ways in relation to favored theory versus a non-favored theory. Okay, I think that sounds good. And I agree that those are both points that are very salient to our hypothesis later on.
Are we going to take out discount, or are we going to...
No, I would leave that in.
I think it's shorter now. I want to keep each explanation succinct. And so I think it's a little bit clearer now, but it's also still short, so.
Explanation's going to be explained, though, right?
Yes, yeah. Not explanation away. Thank you.
I was like,
Wait, how do you spell explain?
No. I am.
It's not actually explain. There we go.
Nope.
Okay. I got it now.
Okay. Say, well,
spelling's not my strong suit. All right. I think this looks good. I think it highlights our points. I think this is something that could be covered in more like a minute or two, because we really have to keep in mind we have about a minute per slide. Less than that right now with the number of slides we have. So I think we want to trim it down to, you know, about a minute per slide is what we're going to get.
I'm just going to talk fast.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So is everyone okay with slide 3 as it stands now?
Yep. I'm good.
All right. Slide 4. Again here, I would try and keep this at the top, like, 2 or 3.
If we refer to belief bias as kind of a subset of confirmation bias, I wonder if we need the first bullet.
I gotta be honest, my brain is not firing. I'm not even sure what that's saying. Hold on.
Psychological phenomena must persist by incriminating believability.
All right. I did not read this one, Harla. I pulled this from your summary. So
you're
the one who read these. So what do you think is most important?
I am refreshing my own memory. I would combine 2 and 3, maybe. I'm going to start typing some things.
I do actually like 3, because I think it just sort of highlights what students did when they were faced with unbelievable conclusions, which is kind of...
Yeah, I don't think... I'm just going to delete 2, and I think we can talk through the fact that she was doing a pilot study.
I think that's really the very interesting part that she found, you know, and what we're trying to get at is, you know, what do students do when they are faced with something that they don't believe or goes against what they believe? What do they do? Do they... And so I think the 3 bullet points there, I actually like that. Personally. Don't have to go through each one in great detail, but I like just that, you know, they're there, personally.
Yeah.
Oh, I spelled replicated wrong.
I just got it. I just noticed that. Although if you were copying and pasting from mine, I might have spelled replicated wrong. So do you think we need the first bullet point, or do you think we can either talk through that? I guess we could just say, in transition, belief bias is a subset of confirmation where now students are looking at the believability of the conclusions. I like that phrase, but we maybe don't need it. Maybe we could talk through that.
I wonder if we can combine this slide... And the next one, get rid of the first bullet, and like you said, we can talk through it. We can read the quote on the next slide without actually having it in the presentation.
Yeah.
And then just include the last line of that one to lead into our research questions.
What did you say about the quote? I would just, like, try and pull it into the previous slide or just have it as a talking point.
Just have
like,
Lee
can
read
have
it
somewhere and she can read it.
Yeah. And then just include the last.
All
because that would get us down to 2 slides for our review of literature. And if we combine the opinion survey ones, that would give three slides for the last step, the next steps. So it would give us three slides to include the sampling survey and the next steps, and that would get us to 15.
Okay.
Seems reasonable. I'm going to try one thing.
And once we're on PowerPoint, I mean, we could even always put the quote back in and just have it as a link. And then it's something you could click on in the presentation. It will pop up on the screen so people can read it. And then it will go away. We can go back.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
It does. We still have to allow time for it, which is the big issue. So I want to make sure that. So what I did, I just pulled the quote onto slide 4. That way it's there. If he's reading it, people can follow along with it. It keeps it in there so we have a visual reminder of the fact that this slide may take a little bit more time and can account for that in other slides.
Okay.
And I don't even know, I mean, yeah, maybe we...
Should we add should we just say the research question is looking for evidence, or should we add that to the top of our research goals page? So the last bullet on the review of literature, should that be the first bullet on the research goals and questions page?
I'm wondering if we should just leave belief bias as 2 separate slides and just leave them the way they are. I think it actually is all good information, and I think it's more directly relevant to our questions of interest.
Yeah, I think I like it where it is. I think it actually flows a little better if we kind of keep it with the belief bias stuff.
So keep it as 2 slides.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you're saying keep the quote on the second slide and then... Okay.
Yeah.
Like that.
Because I think if you put it all into one, it would just make it way too cluttered. And it is a really good segue into, I think it really summarizes nicely the overarching goal of our research question.
Yeah.
So at some point we will have to, I still have to add something about the sampling survey and the next steps. And then at some point we will have to do timing on this.
But we're in pretty good shape, given it's a month away.
I really think so.
I honestly was panicked 2 weeks ago, but I'm not at all panicked right now.
Yeah.
Of course, that could be because I had some coffee. But anyway, One question. There's a violent lyric slide at the end.
Jackie included that in case anyone wanted an example of something that we didn't include, or in case you mentioned that we didn't include ones where it was spread out, where the answers were spread out across all the categories.
Yeah.
Okay. I might keep that in mind. Just maybe take that out as a slide, and I'll just make a note of, like, some of if somebody has a question about what are some of the things that were on the opinion survey that we didn't include. I don't know.
I think that one was, like, only include, only show if someone asks.
Yeah.
The idea.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we can leave it in if you want.
Okay.
So are we good at the moment?
I think we're good with this for now. I will work on my slides on the sampling survey. Then I will email you guys when those are ready today. The next thing we have to take care of, which is due around the same time as this, is the literature review thing, because that is actually due on Monday, July, or August 2nd when we have that dinner.
We also have the concept map done then, too.
Yeah. Isn't that what she's talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, the concept map from the literature review.
All right. Okay.
What do you guys think is the best way to even, like, handle that? Should we all try and come up with our own and then see how easily they merge, or should we try building a single one from scratch together?
Well, I think we need to decide even before we go there what we want to focus on. Are we going to focus on just the confirmation and the belief bias stuff? Or are we going to go back and try to include all of those initial articles that we read? Because I think it's going to be much harder to do if we try to incorporate everything. We've kind of been so many different places.
Yeah.
Once you get into this, you know, you start getting, like I know I started to try to do something, and then I found, like, 20 more articles. So I was like, oh, you know, we really should look at this,
right.
This.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think we need to include the stuff from, like, when we were looking at probability. Because there was a while when there was, like, that one call we had where we read two articles on sampling, two articles on probability or something like that. I don't think we need to include the probability articles. I think maybe some of the stuff, like the things that had been on the first slide that Tara had done for this presentation, I think that stuff does pertain to sampling, so that could be in there as a branch of it, maybe. So I think since sampling is our ultimate goal, we should only include the stuff that has to do with the sampling stuff.
Well,
I think we could try to include all of that.
Well, maybe we should all try to do, like, an outline of what we think the concept map should look like. I don't know how we would put that online.
Yeah, we might have to go back and look at some of that software that Holly Lynn suggested. I think she mentioned some free software.
Yeah.
I think Inspiration has a free, like, 30-day trial or something.
I'm just not sure, how we would break it up into pieces, because there's so much overlap between all of the different pieces.
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of the goal, is to find, like, to see all those connections.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like, I don't want to make, like, a ton of work for everybody, but...
Yeah, we can get Inspiration free for 30 days.
Okay.
I've done this stuff in Word before. I don't know that we need special software.
It's kind of a flowchart, right? You know, just have little boxes, topics, and the flowchart. So, do like a crude It won't be pretty, but yeah, we'll do a little crude flow chart of how we think everything connects up and see what everybody comes up with. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe one of us will come up with one that everybody likes, and then we can just pick that one and tweak it with whatever we need to tweak it with.
So should we start, instead of coming up with really detailed ones individually, should we start by just coming up with ones that have the main topics that we think should be included and the articles that are associated with those main topics? And then once we pick one of those, we can go back and start adding in details rather than have each of us spend all the time doing a detailed map.
I think that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I think that's a fair amount of work without making anybody have to do too much. You know, I mean, just the big ideas of confirmation bias, belief bias, you know, kind of put together what everybody has read themselves, see how it fits in, and then we'll either, you know, find one of us will have one that we all like, or we'll just pick one. Yeah, we can combine them, and the next time we talk, we'll just build up one of them and go from there. So I don't think it'll be too bad. I'm just worried about the whole graphic part of it, where we got to like do all the arrows and the flowchart part of it. Because I'm terrible at that.
Well, just start with it on paper and worry about the technical aspects of it later. Worst comes to worst, you could always like scan it in and email us a PDF of a handwritten thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Especially for a first go around.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because we, honestly, we would probably save ourselves time off starting handwritten, so that way you can, you know, cross things out and erase things much easier than trying to just start in Word, because Word, when you start setting those things up, so you can spend as much time formatting them as you can thinking about the connections in the literature.
Yeah, and by the way, Holly Lynn's concept map webinar that we all attended, Justin posted it on Causeweb. If you want to listen to it again, hold on a moment. It's under research, maybe. Give me a moment. Under getting started, maybe. No. Okay. Project. No. Reading publications. Yes. Okay. So if you go to cause, and then you go to research, the research tab on the left. Under readings and publications, there's a little subsection that has presentations, and there's a couple of sort of random webinars that have been done on research-related issues. The very last one is using concept maps to organize reviews of literature. So if you need to review what Holly Lynn presented, it is on the CauseWeb page.
Cool.
Just posted a week ago, so I might have to go back and listen to that again, because even though I hosted it, I don't remember what happened yesterday, much less what happened 2 months ago. So.
Cool. So, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
All right, this looks good. So then when do we want to try and have our brainstorm ideas on the concept maps together by? Well, they're due in approximately 1, 2, 3, 4. They're due in approximately like 4.5 weeks from today. A little bit less than that.
What's today?
The first.
July 1st.
Okay.
Well, 2 weeks would be nice at least.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Can we aim for like the week of the 19th? I have 2 exams the week of the 13th.
Sure.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Why don't we do earlier in that week, though, if possible?
Yeah, I can do it over the weekend. I have an exam on Tuesday and an exam on Thursday, and then I can spend the weekend because I won't have anything due until the 23rd. And I have 2 finals on the 30th. I have 4 hours of finals on the 30th. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I have practice, but I have 4 hours finals on the 30th. So the 19th through the 23rd is a good week
Okay, I'm doing a workshop, like an online workshop that week, and like every day I have to be there from 11 to 12:30, and then like 3:30 to 5. So any other time is fine.
You mean in between those two blocks?
Yeah, which is fine. It just means I'll be, you know, so like between like a 1 o'clock-ish, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock-ish time would be great. Any of those days. I don't care which one.
Yeah, I can do any of those days at that time.
Why don't we say 2 o'clock on Tuesday?
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I don't have the activity webinar. I don't have anyone for the activity webinar, but, yeah, that's not that week. Okay, never mind. All right, 2 o'clock Tuesday the 20th.
Is there another webinar that week, though? Because you said we have to be careful about scheduling during those times.
Yeah, the teaching and learning webinar is the week before, so we're fine there.
Okay.
So we're good. There shouldn't be anything else going on CauseWeb-wise. So we should be fine. And do we want to just, I mean, Herla, do you want to take care of organizing it? Not that we're really doing roles at this point.
Yeah. Sure.
Or I can do it, or Tara, you can do it. I don't even know who would be the next person to do it. So.
I don't know. Jackie and I switched spots for this one, so I'm going to do the recorder notes.
Okay.
And she's right. I think she's going to listen and synthesize. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do recorder notes.
I was going to say, I don't know that we really need too much in the way of recorder notes because we basically, we're just changing slides. So.
The record is kind of the slides we had.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we can just do a synthesis and I can just do that. And then Jackie doesn't have to worry about, can just send a synthesis email saying this is what we've done, this is the link to where it is. And
yeah.
I think that would be reasonable. And then we can always send her the link to the recording. That way if she wants to listen to it, she can listen to the whole thing. So she would have either to pick from either just a synthesis or she could look at the full recording.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that sounds good. So I will email you guys later today and let you know that I've updated the slides. Either later today or tomorrow, then let you know that I've updated my part of the slides.
Okay.
To get feedback on that. And then I will organize the call for the 20th, which is when we want to have our initial outlines of the concept map stuff done.
Okay.
Is that what everyone else thinks is going on, too?
Yeah, maybe we should do a little more detail since we're going out to the 20th.
Yeah. I think that seems reasonable.
Yeah. Just do as much as you can.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to have to go back and read the rest of the Nickerson. I think I'm going to go back and read the Kaplan article, too. Did you guys come up with any others that you thought might be good? That you thought we should all read?
Well, I went back. My article to go back and look at was the Knold and Higgins article, and I went back and looked at that. Nothing really jumped out at me as, like, oh, we definitely need to read this. I found a few more kind of interesting points from his article, but I don't know if there's anything else we all need to go back and read.
Mine had more to do with sampling distributions and looking at the multi-tiered process of creating a sampling distribution and really had nothing too much to do with what we're looking at now. So
that was mine. I found a couple of points, but nothing that really would help us with our current questions. Although there was some stuff about, what was it called, conceptual change theory or something like that.
Oh, hey, that's what my whole dissertation was about. Sorry.
So it wasn't. It's not really. Obviously, it's not related to what we're doing. Then I was going to go see if I could pull some articles on it to see if it related in any way, because it was just mentioned briefly, but it wasn't discussed in detail.
Conceptual change theory. Let me see if I can sort of. It started in science. It's a learning theory where basically, the idea is that students have a conceptual idea about something. Let's say, I don't know, a sample or the mean or whatever. And they have to become aware of what their concepts are about the mean, what their misconceptions are about the mean, before you can actually affect change in those concepts. So it's not just that you can stand up there and teach them what the correct concepts are and expect them to just learn it. They actually have to become aware of what they, what their preconceptions are about the mean, and what their misconceptions are, what they understand correctly and what they misunderstand correctly or misunderstand about the mean, before you can actually change what their concepts are, hence the conceptual change. So it has more to do with the learning theory idea. Did that make any sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it really has to do, and that's why Joan Garfield's actually done a bunch with it, and why I kind of did some stuff with it. And it has to do with designing learning activities so that students have to think about, well, what do I know about this topic, and what do I understand, and trying to make them aware of what they don't understand, and then taking them through an activity that teaches them what the correct concept is, and that they're much more likely to learn the concept if they're first aware of what they don't understand or what they do understand. That's the conceptual change part of it. So it's an idea from science education that that Joan tried to do with some sampling distribution stuff, and I tried to do with some of my stuff. So that's what conceptual change is. But I'm not sure that really applies to anything that we're trying to do at the moment. Because we're not actually trying to put an activity in the classroom and
right.
test it out, which is where I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. Then I won't go look for those articles. I'll focus instead on some of the other articles that I wanted to read.
Okay.
So, when do we want to share a presentation with RAB members? Do we want to wait till we get our opinion survey slides condensed and get everything to a point where we think we're done? Or should we share it now and let them give us comments so we can correct stuff?
How about Jason?
I don't know. I would want their opinion before Jason. I think they're going to help us, Mom.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
I think they'll be relatively gentle in their critique. Well, I definitely want to add my part because I feel like that's, you know, that's still an actual hole in the presentation, whereas the formatting stuff, we can just say we're going to try and format these differently and condense them a little bit. So maybe at the end of this week?
Yeah, that sounds good. Why don't we wait until Herla, till you get to where you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, and then I'll email you guys, and you can let me know what feedback you have, or you can edit the slides that I put in, and then we can kind of just be in email contact and say, okay, we like this. Maybe Jackie can look at it one more time, or we can just send it to Jackie and the RAB all at the same time. I'm not sure what would be best there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so sometime, and well, end of this week. It is Thursday now, isn't it? So end of this week, early next week, something along those lines.
Well, Holly, Lynn's not back till next week anyway, right? Yeah, till July 5th.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, and then I don't know who's going to ICOTS, but then we're going to lose a bunch of people going to ICOTS, so.
Oh, yeah.
Our jet-setting stat educators. Okay. Well, I do need to get going because I've got an appointment at 1 o'clock that I have to get. I'm still at home. I have to get going here.
Okay.
All right, this sounds good. I will email you guys sometime today or tomorrow. I'll let you know those slides are up then.
Okay, cool.
Sounds good.
Have a good 4th of July, everyone.
You too.
You too. Hope you get everything ready for your parents.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah, good luck.
My husband's been coming home early from work because he knows I'm freaking out because I have two homework assignments due tomorrow. I got the house to clean. I got all the stuff to do. I'm like, so he's been coming home early to help me clean and get stuff ready.
Oh,
thank God.
That's nice. That's nice.
It's very nice. Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.